We ask your blessing upon us, your anointing of your Spirit, as we enter into this celebration. We praise you for the lives of these brothers. I ask you, Lord, to anoint them, give them all that they need to go forward in the way they believe they are called. We praise your name. So it is about the calling of God. And each one of you brothers, I invite you to think of that moment when Jesus looked at you, when you knew his gaze upon you, and you heard within your heart the call, "Follow me." When you were captured by his love. Just like so many before you, we think of Matthew in the Gospel, the tax collector, not really an upright man in the way that he was living his life. He knew his weakness and sinfulness, but he experienced the gaze of Jesus upon him, a gaze of mercy. And in that gaze of mercy, he experienced the call to follow Jesus. And you brothers have, in your own weakness and sinfulness, experienced something of that too. The call to be on a journey of transformation, which is not yet finished. I've got news for you. It won't be finished until the glorious resurrection. So for the rest of your life, you'll be on this journey that God calls you into, as he did with Matthew. And as he did with the rich young man in the gospel. But we know that one had a sad outcome. Because you remember, the young man ran up to Jesus and said, "What must I do?" And Jesus says, "Well, keep the commandments." And he said, "Well, I've always kept the commandments since I was a little fellow." And then Jesus, it says, looked steadily at him and loved him, as he surely does to each one of you guys. He looks steadily at you and loves you. And he said to that man, "But there's one thing more you need to do," because he could see his heart. So go, sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And we're told that that young man went away sad because he had great wealth and he could not let it go. But we rejoice today as a church that these young men have not gone away sad. We rejoice with the joy that you have in your hearts in opening your lives to Jesus, in listening to the call that he's put upon your life, and you've responded because it's a call of love that he has brought to your life. And yes, you might shiver in your sandals as you come forward today, because you know your unworthiness, you know your weakness, and yet in your weakness God will be your strength. You have not turned from Jesus like that man in the gospel, the most miserable of all, because he was fearful of the call of the Lord making him miserable. But the call of the Lord never makes anyone miserable. It gives us great joy to know the love of God. And when we know his love, it doesn't matter what we're giving up. We don't count the cost because of we've experienced his love. As it says in the psalm today, "Lord, make us turn to you. Let your face shine on us and we shall be saved." And that's what you're doing today, dear brothers. You have turned to Jesus, discovered him as your lasting joy, responding to that call of love. Of course, Jesus has said to you, You did not choose me. No, I chose you. And I commissioned you to go forth and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And Jesus has also said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And as a result of that, he says, I told you this, so that my joy may be in you and your joy be complete. So if consecrated life is to do anything for the world, it's to bring joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the joy of the Lord is in your heart today, as you open yourself more deeply to this call that is upon your life. That joy, which is the joy of Jesus himself. He says, that is my joy, he says, and I want you to have it to completion. So let us celebrate today joyfully with these brothers, and let us pray that they'll never be robbed of their joy. And they'll be a witness to the world today of the joy and hope that is found in the risen Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, your consecration is actually a call to prophetic witness in the church and the world. I'd like to have said that first, but actually it was Pope Francis who said that. In the church, this radical yes to the Lord, that those who, especially those who are making their vows today, this radical yes to the Lord, that's a witness to all of us. And we all feel called forward by that yes that you're making. Because all of us, unfortunately, can at times become complacent, half-hearted in our response, peevish and complaining about the lot that's dished out to us in life, anxious about our future. We're all a bit like that at times. And so on a day like this, we get inspired to turn again with these brothers to Jesus. At the beginning of Advent, that's what we're meant to do, to turn to Jesus and let his face shine on us, and we shall be saved. To be shaken out of our lethargy, to throw off the torpor that can affect our spirits and drag us down. And this Advent season, as we heard in the Gospel, we wake up. And brothers, thank you for helping us to wake up as a church. That's another thing that Pope Francis recently said to religious people as they gathered. He told them, your existence is to wake up the church and wake up the world to who Jesus is and the beauty and majesty and wonder and glory of the person of Jesus Christ. Because you brothers are stating with your lives that you want to be for Jesus and for Jesus alone. So this is a good call for all of us, of course, that we would, during this Advent season, have a greater vigilance over our hearts and a greater readiness to be surrendered to God and live in the joy of the Spirit that we're meant to live in. And of course, you are a witness to the world too if you live this life well. Of course, there is the possibility, we pray against this, that you could live it poorly, but we claim that you'll live it well. And so through the witness of your poverty and your celibacy and your obedience, you'll wake up the world, which unfortunately is asleep, not aware of the presence and goodness of God. Your life speaks of that, numbed maybe by, as if by a drug, you know, by the pursuit of pleasure and possessions and things for their own sake. Burdened by the wounds of life and not able to find healing. We live in a troubled world where people are living without meaning and purpose, incapable of understanding, especially the meaning of death. But you, brothers, are intended to be a sign of joy, a sign of hope in the world, where people can look to your lives and say, Oh, there's hope for me too. Well, you are meant to bring a joyful news of God's consolation, that it's God's purpose to console his people. The tender mercy of the heart of our God, who visits his people like the dawn from on high. You are meant to speak that with your lives and also with your words. So let us pray that your witness will wake up the world to the truth of Jesus, to the love of God, and that the affirmation of God for every human person, especially those who are discarded and marginalized, those who seem to be left over in the society, your life is meant to be with them. Your life is meant to be for them. Your life is meant to affirm the dignity of every human person, especially those that get overlooked, those that get suppressed and pushed down. Yes, dear brothers, you have a calling ahead of you to live. And you are called, and you've sensed it in your spirit, even though you may not say it, you've sensed that you're called to greatness. And that's true, you are. And so is every person in this congregation. You have known something of the restlessness of the heart that St. Augustine knew when he said, we're made for you, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And what's that restlessness? In every human heart, there's a call to greatness, not the greatness of the celebrities. You're renouncing that. Wealth, prestige, power. That's not the true greatness of the human being, but rather a greatness of a heart given to God, welcoming the kingdom like a child, knowing your utter need for his saving power in your life, letting Jesus become your lasting treasure, letting him be your joy. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So you're becoming radically given to God. There's something in your spirit that might be resisting a bit of that. There's something called the flesh that pulls you back. But God will have his way if you surrender to him, and he'll give you the grace and the power that you need to be radically given to God and so radically given to all of humanity. Anyone who wants to be first among you must be last of all and least of all, servant of all, says Jesus, because the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. So the question then that we can ask all of us today, because what we're seeing happen here, we can ask a question. Because the step forward that these brothers are undertaking calls us all forward. So the question is, do you have a heart? Do you have a heart that desires greatness? Or has your heart been dulled to sleep because of all the things that you have? Is your heart suffocated and become hardened? And Jesus would speak to each person here today through what we see happening. He would say to each one of us, "You are important to me. I hung on the cross for you. My blood was shed for you. My love is totally for you. I have claimed you as my own." And as you allow the voice of Christ to break into your heart, and as you allow his spirit to take hold of you more deeply in this Advent season, you'll find a love welling up within you. You'll find that your life will no longer, you'll want it to be lived not just for yourself, but you'll want to be poured out for the sake of others. Consecrated life exists in the church as, yes, a belonging radically to God and a pouring out of our lives for the sake of others. But it also calls everybody, it should, if it works well, it should call every person to a similar response in whatever state of life you have. That Jesus becomes the centre of your life, that you know the love of God deeply within you. You know his touch, You know his presence. And you know that he is the joy of your life. And you turn radically to him. So my friends, let's all turn to Jesus. Let his face shine on us today. And we shall know ourselves as the redeemed people of God. Let us rejoice in what God has given us. Jesus, the Son of God made man. Jesus for us, who hung on the cross for our sake and shed the last drop of his blood for each one of us. Jesus, let us love him. Let us center our lives upon him. Let us order our priorities according to what is his will and his purpose for each one of us. Let us allow him to bring about the transformation deep within us that he wants to bring about. So, brothers, thank you for the witness that you are. And I call you now, in this coming ceremony, right now, to open your lives and to give your lives over to the only one who ultimately matters. At the moment of your death, nothing else is going to matter than that you are meeting Jesus. And in a way, this is a sort of a death that you're undergoing today, if you're taking vows especially, but it's a death that you'll never be sad about. The death that brings great joy. Because when we die to ourselves for the sake of others and for the sake of God, that's what it means to truly live as a human being. And bless his name.